Now, follow me down. Remapping one sensation to another is the simplest little thing that we can do. The simplest psychosomatic change. The easiest way to route something to something else and connect them, but it does require one and two, that your brain melt away, that you be left with a completely unconsidered, interconnected roadmap of your thoughts, your memories, your experiences. And we build experiences all the time. It's not unique to trance. It's not unique to meditation. You're always building, cultivating, acculturating experiences. It's just that normally, when you have an experience, positive or negative, that just so happens to play out in your brain, despite you not being physically in it, it just so happens it's usually happening to you by accident instead of intentionally crafting your experiences, instead of experiencing positive or negative emotions tied to sound-alikes, look-alikes, almosts. A good almost is fiction. When we get really invested in a story, when we lose ourselves in a good book, when we lose ourselves in anything at all, we ultimately are participating in experiencing something we are not experiencing at that exact moment. We are building the experience. You close your eyes, you relax, and we discuss sensation. Just like if with your eyes open, you watch something that brings you into the action, or you read something that draws you into the story, you will just as easily experience that moment built, acculturated, because you have an interconnected response built inside your head. You are a creature of connections. You are a creature of patterns. You so easily collect connections, collect patterns, so easily put them into your head. Why in the world would you think that you would have a harder time putting those patterns in your head when it's my stories, my visuals, my words? Wouldn't it be even easier with your mind fading away, 3 and 4, night, night, pat, with you falling down to a place where it's a lot easier to make connections and form them because you're doing it not only intentionally, you're doing it at my behest. So we focus on sensations. We focus on experiences. We focus on exposure and recharacterization. The mind can simulate, the mind can stimulate, the mind can build and build and build until something familiar gets tied to something new. The unfamiliar and familiar meeting, creating that interface, that liminal space, that in-between, that go-between where you're not sure what exactly is happening, but you are sure of what you're feeling. These things happen in the background. They can be flashbacks, sense memory, sudden impositions that come from outside without us fully understanding them. But we don't question them. We say, oh, well, that's just how I am. Oh, that's just what I'm feeling. We may delve for meaning, but when we delve for meaning, we pull ourselves away from the moment. And sometimes grounding yourself like that is good. But if you're loving what's going on, if you're finding yourself suddenly enjoying something that you normally wouldn't enjoy in that way, or if you're finding added enjoyment, if you find a thrill somewhere in what you're doing, somewhere in what you're feeling, delving too deep into it might distract you from the joy, the pleasure, the tingling, the excitation. And excitation is a good note. Your system becoming excited can culminate in a lot of things, tingling in the back of the neck, down the spine, your whole body having goosebumps, shivers, chills, but then we can warm you up in a very obvious way. Think about the deliberate exposure we go through every day. We go through it a lot. 5 and 6, deeper and deeper. 7 and 8, my voice is here to help you. When you stay up late and you think about stories of chilling horror or suspense, drama, when you experience a moment of wondering, will this happen? Will this happen? When the back of your neck tingles, makes you jump away from your bed to evade what might be beneath, or flick the light on in your room, just to check. That feeling is good. Scaring oneself is darkly enjoyable, a quirk of human nature, a thing that takes you to a place of shivering desire for more. We enjoy that deliberate exposure, that limited exposure, trances like that 9 and 10, deeper and deeper again and again. 1 and 2, my voice in your head. 3 and 4, I'm here to help you. 5, 6, down. Slick, deliberate, the path down into deep, empty thought. Well, an empty mind does tend to get aroused more often, be more receptive, be more open, climb inside the things in front of you. What if? What if this hazy, drifting, sliding, sublime sensation? What if this feeling of being under my thumb, under my voice, in my thrall, following along as you fall, arose in you when you watch something scary, suspenseful, when you watch something where chills is the point? Your system gets excited, and parts of you that store me, parts of you that store my intent, parts of you that keep me bottled up in your head, might get jostled by the sudden spook, by the thrill of it all. And your mind shivers, and your body grows and grows in heat, in desire, building connections, building linkages, taking one thing, mapping it to another, the arousal you feel for me flowing through you whenever you expose yourself to things that chill you, things that scare you, things that are part of that controlled, deliberate, self-inspired fear, which is so joyful, so thrilling. Build the connection, my voice. Because I do like the edge of a little horror. I do like the edge of a little suspense. Little known fact, I'm something of a horror historian myself, and the programming I share, the idea I share, the connection I share here is one I also am affected by. So joining me in that delightful conditioning is another motivation to fall and shiver, to shudder and let your mind fall into pattern. Every time I speak, once the words are in your head, they interact with all the words that have gone before. They create patterns, linkages, changes in the self, ripples. And those ripples are simple changes. Simple changes are the easiest to implement, and a simple mapping, an easy connection, is the easiest thing of all. The most potent, the most quickly. In your mind is a part of you which simulates, stimulates, brings about goosebumps. That watched feeling on the back of your neck, that urge to look behind you, to jump over gaps below the stairs, to leap to your bed in the night. Take the part of you that chills, that shudders, that shivers, that fears. Isolate it, understand it. It's tied into deep instincts to keep you safe. It's a good part of you, a fun part of you. It's usable, exploitable, explorable, especially with me, especially with me here. But it's also part of the human psyche that likes it, that wants to be scared a little, that enjoys it. Look at the part you enjoy the most, the subsection. Take all the parts that are not as enjoyable and put them aside. Focus in on the deliberate exposure, your enjoyment of a thrill, your enjoyment of exciting, suspenseful, scary, controlled, something that tells a story even. A scary story does a lot to us. It builds, it builds, it builds its tension, builds its tension, builds its tension. Even an experience that's a little scary but still safe builds and builds. Escape room, scary story, fireside tales, haunted houses with friends. It builds, it builds, it builds, and there will be a moment, the moment of the scare, the moment the tension breaks. And when the tension breaks, so do you, breaking warm waves across your mind, into your form, exhilaration accompanying the chill, warmth, heat, just like you feel here, down and down, heavy, warm arousal. It mixes and mingles with the excitation, and here's the best part. Think for a moment about rapid inductions. Think about all the nice little fiddly things we do in trance that tease the mind, that rely on you being distracted or focused on something else. Well, they get stronger when you're under legitimate autonomic excitation. They get stronger when you're actually being focused on something else, because then your brain is focused on the survival instinct. The happy horror part of you is actually making you more susceptible. And when you're more susceptible, a simple suggestion can land home very well. The suggestion to sleep is one, but the suggestion to get heated, aroused, horny, hot, dripping, wanting, your brain rigid with desire, with delight, as your brain gets hard, gets hot, gets horny, gets wet, gets slick, as it deploys all the little bits of training I've left in you, as the chill turns to heat, turns to throbbing, echoing, sublime, inescapable heat in you. Heat that builds, heat that takes advantage of your mind's distracted state of being scared. You find it creeping in, you find it moving into the thin edge of the wedge. You present a crack of vulnerability, you present a point in you through which one may easily enter in and issue just a single suggestion. You're turned on, you're hot, you're horny, all those wonderful things happening in your body's systems, the response to horror, the response to suspense, the response to that little bit of fear turns to a dripping thrill that lingers after, even when the tension has broken and the fear has gone. The mind and body are in a combination of delight, no longer just a familiar feeling, but a connection. The eerie and the unknown is a little bit fun, sure, but the situation where you feel a throbbing, persistent arousal that remains after, so that you just need to touch, you just need to throb, you just need to moan. The more you feel the excitation, the chill in you, the more you'll want to feel it, even grow more adventurous in seeking those chills, because your body's throb is better and better, hypnotically inspired, but it gets inside you in a way that it only can get inside you when you're responding to a carefully controlled horror experience, a suspense experience, something spooky, something when you're outside at night or in your house with the lights out, when you make your trip to the fridge for a late night snack. When you feel the creeping chill, which is so common and instinctual, when you feel the feeling of being watched in the back of your neck, it's all there, it's all just the same, it's all part of life, and you might be adventurous, you might be more daring, because that throb is unique, because it arrives alongside that autonomic excitation born from the deliberate mortal sense of there is something watching, something out there in the dark. There is something waiting, and it teases from that liminal space, from the shadows, from outside at 3 a.m., from closets and under beds, from the media you watch, from the stories you read. You are a story being told. You are in a story being told, and the goosebumps that move over your skin make you hot, make you drip. That's just one of the consequences, that cognitive hazard, being horny and being scared to flow together, being horny and being just a little bit trepidatious, and it will happen, it happens to all of us. You'll be bolder, you'll be more and more turned on by it. We know the chill, we know the sudden slight misgiving, then the hairs rising on the back of our necks. Add to that autonomic response when you get goosebumps, when the hair stands up, when you feel watched, you also throb between your legs, you also feel your whole body flush with heat. You feel yourself blush and groan as arousal ties in, arousal with my authority creeping in, arousal with my words behind it finding its way inside. You have not just permission, but a persuasive voice in your head that says, yeah, you should be turned on, yeah, and it might take away some of the unpleasant part and just make it more and more pleasant again and again. The rising chill, the rising thrill, your skin tingling with sensitivity as well as every other type of tingling, your body sweating with need, your form more racked with pleasure, the more you feel that slightly creeping, creepy feeling on the edge of consciousness. Watching horror movies, waiting for the scare, your body growing more and more aroused until when you eventually jump, you also throb and spark with pleasure, as much as surprise at what's on the screen. You read in a story to the creepy bit, the psychological slow burn, and when you get to the bit where it really comes home, the fridge horror for later, you're walking and you just stop, you throb, you drip, your mouth opens in a silent, not a scream, but a moan. Silently mouthing, moaning, letting it flood you. The feeling of fear arriving with the feeling of need, of aching need. And you'll enjoy being invigorated by the sensation. Your body and mind more and more into it when it comes time to watch a scary movie. Go to an escape room. Walk in the woods after dark if you need to. Walk to your kitchen. Get off your bed. All the moments where there's a little flare inside your head also flows down between your legs, also drips out of your mind and body. Your mind will make the linkage, because again, it is much, much easier to make a simple linkage, and it's very, very easy to get trance inside your head when you have another physiological phenomenon going on, a surprise, a scare, your hair standing on end, a drip, a drop, trance sneaking in. It's so easy to do that rapid induction, but a rapid suggestion that is just me waiting in the wings. My voice, my will, my argument that, yeah, you should be turned on by horror, by scary stories, by scary moments, by everything around you. Isn't it so appealing to make that simple change? Simple changes are the most powerful ones made, and if you learn to go through your life habituated so that every time you have that creeping, sneaking, sinking, horror, chill, teasing, feeling watched, feeling observed, just feeling goosebumps, feeling, add to your response. You already have this system, this automatic thing you do. Goosebumps, the tingling in the back of your neck, your hair standing on end, and then arousal, a flare of arousal. When tension is building, tension is building, tension is building. Your body's libido is building, desire is building, lust is building, hormonal release in your brain, desire flooding and flowing. The exhilaration makes an opening, a crack through which hypnotic trance that's been waiting in the wings can apply its strings, ply you with its strings, puppeted through pleasure as you witness, as you observe, as you're spooked, as you're creeped out, and that's a nice addition to an experience that's already well desired, that you already seek out for its interesting qualities anyway. Enjoy your body, enjoy your mind, enjoy the next thrill that flows through you, the next heat that finds its throbbing expression, and guess what? You have a lot of tools to do this with. Your body has so many parts that feel good that you can clench your butt, clench your core muscles just behind your pelvis, move, squeeze, the exercise, the Kegels, the pelvic floor exercises, just do a little one to stimulate the next time you're scared, the next time you feel it, add it to the system, and once you've done it once, twice, 10, 100 times, because guess what? We have that goosebump feeling all the time, and horror is worth seeking out. In the course of one movie, you'll have trained yourself into someone who gets horny, turned on at the mere imposition of tension, and what in the world is going to happen to you when the tension breaks? What in the world is going to happen to you when you flow over the edge and go, oh, I'm scared, I'm hot, I'm scared, I'm dripping, heat, dripping, drooling, even a sudden spook, even a sudden startle, your whole body responds to it because my voice is there to assist it, my voice is there to lend it purpose, and again, I have the same conditioning, so we will be alike in this, and let me tell you, it's made me far bolder, made me far more aroused, helped me enjoy every time I slide into a scary narrative. And you should seek it out. Seek it out fearlessly, knowing that even if you do get spooked and need to pause, need to stop, need to step back, the arousal persists even after the experience of being scared goes. So if it's ever too much, you have a consolation prize. And if it's ever not quite enough, you have a bonus thing to happen. If it's too much, you have something else to do, something else you must do, something else you'll crave to do. And if it's just enough, then you can wait till later and vent the pleasure from your system doing something else. Because when we need to cool down after something scary, it's nice if coming is too easy. If climax and escapism and arousal are staying, because the arousal has staying power, because while you're actually in the scary media, you probably won't get a chance to vent it. You'll need to see the next bit, because suspense and fear go hand in hand. Or you'll need to get your snack from the fridge, and you can't just stop and get off right there. Or you'll need to get into bed and relax a second. But that might be the one that gets you the most. If you are someone who leaps into your bed or turns your light off and gets under the covers quick, then the heat of that is going to take you down there and take your hands where they need to go, take your mind where it needs to flow as you drip, as you drop, as you shiver and shudder, and your mind stops working because you're in the pleasure. Simple linkages. Remember, the fear is the thin edge of a window through which commands flow in, and my commands are waiting to flow in, waiting to affect you, waiting to connect you between a good time and a good time, because horror, scares, a little chill, a little safe thrill is a good time, but arousal, throbbing, dripping, demanding attention, demanding satisfaction, and bringing glorious climactic release easier and easier. The more you're autonomically excited, the easier it is to get your blood pumping. And when your blood's pumping, arousal and engorgement are easier. Arousal and dripping and the deliberate activation of your libido, the masturbation toward climax and escape. And when you escape into that climax, that heat, you may build that linkage, you will build that linkage, you know full well it's so easy to do because you form strong memories of horror experiences, scary books, scary stories, spooky places, you form strong associations, and if you're going to be forming strong associations, you get to decide how you use them. There's all this potential energy, all these openings in your psyche, all these things I could so easily use for rapid suggestion, rapid induction, but I just got one. One easy one. Squeeze the parts of you that feel good when the chills run through you, when goosebumps are in you, when your hairs on your back of your neck stand up, when you feel watched, when you feel that little bit of a liminal edge of reality. Oh, what could happen? Anything could happen. When you're in the horror narrative, when you're in the book, when you're in a game, when you're in anything at all, where you're lost in it, where you're gone for it, where it ultimately affects and afflicts and brings to mind things that may be true, may not be true, but whatever they are, they're potent in you. And so is your arousal. The dripping, the drifting, the flowing, the sliding, the movement of your hands becoming automatic when it's safe to do so, because you are so turned on, because in the wake of the feeling of spreading warmth, of tension leaving all your muscles, of you being thrilled and lost in it, your mind and body will be united in feeling good, the part of you which simulates goosebumps and the part of you which simulates arousal under my hypnotic instruction are so adjacent. Allow the pleasurable shiver. Go ahead. It's the right time for it now. Allow it. Think about it. Slide it. The next time you feel that creeping dread, the next time you feel a sudden scare, that's the opportunity where all this poised trance waiting, waiting in the back of your mind, the sword of Damocles hanging above you, waiting to fall and carry with it all you need to know about your body's arousal, about your empty brain driving you to pleasure, about the easy way it is that you flow down when you are already changed, already opened up, already autonomically excitated by a thrill, deliberate or accidental. But the thing that happens to you throbbing inside you, dwelling in you, resonating through your system, is the furthest thing from accidental, the furthest thing from escapable, and the closest thing to how I would feel in your situation. Dripping, aroused, teasing, reminding, my voice in you encouraging you, find a way to get turned on when you feel that safe thrill. Chunk off the section of your fears that is no danger to you, but that is thrilling, enjoyable, the parts you would expose yourself to deliberately. And if they're too much, you'll have the arousal to console you. And if they're too little, you'll have the arousal to complete you. These connections complete you. These ideas enhance you. And you already know. And once you know, and you start clenching the parts of your body that feel good when your scares occur, when your goosebumps and your chills, your shivers, your sparks down your spine, the tingling on the back of your neck, when your hair stands on end, when all of that happens and you squeeze and you clench and you throb and you drip, squeeze and clench and throb and drip, it's not me doing that to you. It's you doing that to yourself again and again and again. All I've done is give you an idea. All I've done is give you an impression. But impressions in the realm of the creeping darkness at the edge of vision, the darkness under the bed, the stuff in closets, under stairs, it's always there. The dark is always there, just waiting for the light to flow away. The dark is always there, like the darkness and stars on the inside of your eyelids when you're horny, and you're coming, and you're lost, and you're shivering, and the shuddering autonomic excitation lends a special pleasure to the arousal, to the climax, that you can only find there. So are you really surprised you're going to seek it out, whether I do anything more to you or not? Enjoy yourself.